scratch my balls. I mean,
is that Jake from State Farm behind you?
Happens. What?
Is it Jake from State Farm?
Over here?
Yeah,
that guy. No, it's not Jake from State Farm. You would
the
be wrong.
The original Jake, not the replacement.
No, that is Maury Terry, Steve. Okay. Maury Terry. Yeah. And be part of the subject of our show this evening that we'll be getting into.
All
right. You know, you probably didn't watch the Sons of Sam documentary.
There's a documentary?
I'm going to guess. Yeah, on Netflix, Steve.
Oh, that explains it. I don't watch Netflix.
At all?
No.
Like ever?
No.
Interesting. Dean Cooper says it's 4 p.m. here. Okay. What do I give a fuck? It's 5:04 here. P.M. I don't know what you want me to tell you, Dean.
That's 503, according to my computer. Let me see.
I don't know what you mean.
503. Yeah.
503? Well, I guess I'm wrong, but that's what my computer's saying. That's what it's saying, Steve. It's wrong? Is it wrong? Is our time not syncing up?
Nope.
We're not in the same time?
No, you're in the future.
Period. I'm in the future?
Yes.
I'm actually operating in the future?
I think so.
Interesting. Well, let's get this fucking show on the road.
You're about to witness the strength of creep knowledge.
Good evening, and welcome to the 40 and Slip. This is episode 190. 190. It's, of course, absolutely way higher than that, but we won't get into that long and convoluted story. The Sons of Sam.
All of them?
Multiple, Steve. All the Sons of Sam.
Okay.
We will ferret them out. Huh? Huh? How'd you like that? How'd you like that shit, Steve?
You just trying to see if Richard Allen's listening or some shit?
I don't give a shit.
Where does ferrets come into play in the story of the Sons of Sam?
No, it's a ferreting something out. It's a term, Steve.
Yeah, I know it's a term, but
yeah, I was just using it.
Didn't seem.
I was using it. I was being witty.
It wasn't.
No. I was hoping it was witty. I was praying.
It was all right.
Oh. Wow. Maybe I should just hang it up then.
Yeah,
right. Maybe that's what we should do, Steve. Is just hang it up.
Fuck it.
Just fucking not do it anymore.
I was thinking about retiring at 200, but
at 200,
we could stop at 190. I don't give a fuck.
A 10, should I stretch it out to 10 more and then just call it good? Just fucking hang it up.
We'll see.
Hang it up. I don't know anymore. I don't know. I think the like page has become like this fucking thing that I just do. I just get up every day or come home from work every day and I just do it.
It became a job.
Well,
it's not fun anymore.
Well, it's not that it became a job. It's just, it's tedious. It's a pain in my fucking nuts. I got to find the pictures and I got to post the pictures. I got to schedule the pictures. I got to make sure that everything's covered. I got to do it a certain way. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to make sure that I don't fucking violate Facebook's fucking standards or I get fucking kicked off for fucking however many hours or weeks or days or whatever the fuck they decide. So,
yeah, my page is pretty damned easy.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't have one. Well, I do. I mean, I've started 100 pages. They just never go anywhere.
You just never do anything with them. Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know. It's I've had it for so long now. I started that page. God, it was like 2014. I think I started it.
Shit, that's been forever.
Yeah, it was almost. It's almost as old as the show. So, I know that. I actually started the like page at the encouragement of one Jeffrey Kelly. Steve said, "You need a like."
Not page. All bad. Well, maybe he is all bad if you were describing.
If now it's a fucking pain in my balls, then yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But he said, "Yeah, you should start a like page because the group isn't, you know, the group has never performed. The 40 and Slip group never fucking performed.
I think it's because of the way you have it set up, where all the posts have to be approved and all that stuff. Yeah,
I approve most everything.
Yeah, but people don't care for that.
I don't care. I'm responsible for it all, so. I mean, I have to deal with that bullshit.
Yes, you do.
So fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Fuck it.
There's no potential of making money off of a Facebook group anyway. Facebook page, there is at some point.
Right, but mine, they keep telling me mine's not eligible, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because, you know, they don't like you.
I guess. I have issues. I have issues, Steve.
It's kind of hard for your page not to break some rule somewhere along the line. I mean, the type of content that has to be on that page to make it what it is.
Well, what pisses me off is the type of stuff that they hit me for. It's so stupid. Yeah, like some of the stuff, shit. like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing.
To me, that's funny as fuck.
Right. The meme is funny, but they deemed it inappropriate and knocked me out for like, oh God, it was like a week or two.
They did that to a lot of people over that exact same meme at exact same time. And yeah. The meme was posted like months before or some shit right. Like that. It was funny.
It was a retro thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it anymore. Like, what are we doing? So you're going to go back on my timeline from fucking 10 years ago and fucking knock me for something?
Well, that's what we do in life anyway. Yeah, anybody runs for a public office, we dig up what they did in elementary school, you know?
I just think it's gotten fucking ridiculous.
So
it's gotten so ridiculous. I just don't want to deal with it anymore. I keep doing it, though. For some reason, I keep doing it.
And you will keep doing it.
I don't know. I might have gotten to the end of my rope.
It is independent from the show, though. I don't think most people even know there's a show that goes with that page. Because if they did, they'd come over here, too.
Oh, yeah. We don't have half the watching base. Half. I do.
1/10 of 1%.
Yeah, not even of what I have on that page. So, yeah, no. Hardly anybody on that page watches this shit. It's funny when the people find it sometimes and then they enjoy it or whatnot.
Hey, what? There's a show? Holy fuck.
Oh, you guys do this? Like every week? Yeah. Post it every fucking week.
It's amazing that our show never did grow to like greatness.
No.
But, I mean, we got our viewers.
So. Yeah, we've got our solid base. There's a solid number of downloads every fucking week on the on the podcast page, plus what the people that watch it on Facebook and YouTube Live. Not a lot of people on Twitch. Twitch page isn't that big, pretty much. You know, I figured it would be a good avenue to try to get other people to check it out, but you know, it is what it is. I can only do what I can do. Right, Steve. You got any news tonight, Steve? Let's get right into it.
Alrighty. Holy Lord. Jeez.
I mean, why not?
Okay, well, let's go. Our first story is from wavy.com? I think so.
Hold on. Wavy gravy?
And enlarge the print because, you know, I'm old. I can't read that well. Oh, that's much better. Killer Birds from Outer Space is the title I'm giving.
Killer this. Birds from Outer Space.
Yes, I decided that was a good title for this article.
No, okay. It's not the original
title. An eagle-eyed turkey hunter from Wisconsin made a wild discovery on Wednesday morning. Neil Herman found, had already harvested a bird in nearby Dunn County. I guess he was hunting turkeys. When he decided to continue scouting at other properties. A little while later, however, he stumbled across something much more foul than a turkey. Uh-oh. He said, I noticed something white out in the field, just a white spot. I put my binoculars on, and I thought, I'm pretty sure that's a bald eagle from outer space over there. I'm adding outer space into some of these things because it sounds better.
No.
Sure enough, it was a bald eagle from outer space, but that's not all Herman found inside the bald eagle. Not all Herman found, sorry. Inside the bald eagle from outer space, dead bald eagle from outer space, talons, was the head of a deer. I walked down to it. I saw it. It was a newborn fawn in its talons. And I said, I wonder how that deer...
Wait. Is the bird from outer space?
Yes, and so I think the deer is too.
Wait, how do we know that the bird's from outer space?
Because I said so.
You said so, or the story says so?
I added it in.
Why?
Made the story more exciting.
Oh.
It wasn't exciting?
No. I don't appreciate your space embellishment.
So then it just becomes a story about a dead bald eagle with a baby deer in its talon.
Okay.
It's not as exciting to me.
All right. It doesn't have to be from outer space. It's not from outer space. There's no space in that story.
Nobody knows how the non-bald eagle from outer space.
No, it's a bald space. Eagle. It's a bald eagle. From planet Earth. That's dead.
The terrestrial bald eagle. Nobody right. knows how it got the deer in its talons and why right. it died, but it
correct, did. Steve.
And this guy found it.
That's right. You got it.
I guess that was his last meal.
There you go.
That story sucked. It sucked. Not because Katie, no, it wasn't you.
No, it was. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel this week, okay? I was struggling.
The story sucked because of my embellishments.
Well, the pictures were really cool. That's why I chose it, honestly. The pictures are wicked.
Let's go with a little bit better story. This one is from, Times News? Times on News? Something like that.
Yeah.
.com. A woman's fart smelled so bad that a person puked and a gym was prompted to evacuate for sewage problems from outer space. A woman's fart was so
from outer space. I was still going with this.
Yes. Then another woman threw up and the gym was evacuated. A weightlifter. I doubt this is real. This can't be real.
Oh, I was gonna weightlifter say,
Maxine Van Den Jessel. In a video said that she farted at the gym after a night of heavy drinking and kebabs. Heavy drinking and kebabs. Her fart smelled so bad that a woman puked in the gym. I thought there was a serious problem. One time I went to spin class after a night of heavy drinking at 4 a.m. kebabs and farted and smelled so bad, blah, blah, blah. She's just recanting the same story. I don't think that's a real story. But there is a video about it.
Yeah.
Read more. Let's see.
She got a stinky butthole.
I clicked the read more button.
Yeah.
And it won't do anything.
No reading of more for you?
It won't let me read more. So this woman, who's pretty good looking, admits on video that she farted so bad the gym thought they had a sewage backup.
Hmm.
Yeah. The story was based off of a TikTok, and basically this chick was saying she was too embarrassed to admit it at the time, so she's going ahead and letting us all know about it 8 years later so to laugh about it.
Oh,
she left the gym that day without letting them know it was her?
Yeah, she let the gym be evacuated because of her rotten fart.
Is she the same chick that shit in the fucking hot tub in that video.
Ew, what?
Yeah, you never saw that one?
Oh, God. All right. I have a real outer space story now.
Oh.
IFLScience.com. New U.S. Navy footage shows spherical UFO flying around before diving into the sea. I think we've all seen that video, probably.
I haven't checked it out yet.
It's pretty impressive. And a video captured by the U.S. Navy, an unidentified flying object is seen dancing across the screen before crashing into the ocean, capturing the imagination of UFO hunters everywhere. There is currently little information about the object, except that the Pentagon has confirmed the footage is authentic. And now the video
is a UFO.
Oh, yeah, it is. The U.S. Navy photographed and filmed spherical-shaped UFOs in advanced transmedium vehicles. Oh, that's hard to say. According to Corbell, the guy who has this website, he says the video was captured 2 years ago in 2019, but has since been made available to the public. It was thought to have originated from within USS Omaha's Combat Information Center while sailing off the coast of San Diego. Although that is unconfirmed.
Dude, we're about to be invaded.
Something's going on.
We're about to be invaded.
Yeah.
We're going to be invaded. The takeover is about to happen. I think it's all done.
Although the video is short, it appears the object is capable of traveling through both air and water, making it more advanced in transmedium travel than any known vehicles, military or otherwise. The object itself is incredibly small. Radar imaging shows a solid ball measuring just 6 feet in diameter. That is pretty fucking small.
We're done. We're done for, Steve.
Yeah, they're tiny. Maybe we can get them. You know, maybe they're too small. Maybe that's why they haven't invaded yet. They're only shipped at 6 feet in diameter.
Yeah, we're done for. I think we're done for.
It's flying about 158 miles an hour during its flight in the air.
They're all like the fucking, what it was, that dude on the Flintstones, the Great Kazoo.
Oh yeah, the Great Kazoo. So interestingly enough, search was performed using a submarine shortly after it was spotted, but the object was long gone. So that not only means that it travels quickly through the air, it would mean it would travel quickly through the water, I would guess. Currently, there is no known vehicle that can fly through the air for an extended period of time and then transition into the water and continue traveling. Throughout the 1900s, the concept of a flying submarine was explored, but significant challenges in air supply and fuel made the idea never quite take off. That's pretty fucking cool, if you ask me. That is the news.
Wow.
Yes, I did do a good job on that.
Yeah, I think it's done. I think we're done. I think it's all over.
Yeah.
All over the crying. I think the aliens are fucking coming. I think either they're here already or they're coming. Something's fucking going on.
I'm ashamed of myself. I read the news horribly tonight, and I apologize to our fan base and our viewers and listeners everywhere. No.
You give a shit?
No.
Not really.
No, but I agree. Something strange. I mean, we've talked about it for the last few shows here. Something fucking strange is going on.
Dude,
why would they even tell us that? Why would they even tell us that footage exists?
Well, it's new footage.
It's not new. It's from 2019. But
right, but it's new that they're releasing.
How does a citizen even know that footage exists unless somebody gives it to them? So why would they even release it? Is what I'm saying. You know,
dude, something's going on. Telling you right now, something's going on.
Something weird. Probably all a bunch of mundane bullshit. Maybe they're just hyping this shit up. Maybe these
fucking wackos that think that there's lizard people in control of the world. Maybe, Steve. I'm not saying there's lizard people. I'm not going down the lizard people road, Steve. I want you to know that. I want to state that for the record right now. But maybe there's something to what they're saying. That the aliens are already here. That's all I'm saying. Maybe there's something to what they're saying.
They walk amongst us.
That's all I'm saying. Maybe. I'm not saying they do.
If their ship is only, I bet you it's just a probe. That's probably what it is.
There you go. Steve, we have drones.
I got 158 miles an hour doesn't seem that fast, though.
I bought my son a little drone. It's like this big. It's like this tiny. You fly it around. It's a cool little fucking drone. Does stunts and shit. You telling me aliens with that technology can't make a drone that's 6 feet long?
No, I'm trying to figure out.
Or in diameter?
What's the point? What's the point of it? Well, I suppose if it got shot down, nobody gets harmed. You know, none of the alien people get harmed.
Right.
So, if the ship can shoot at it or whatever.
Sure.
I've long had a theory, though, that whatever these things are, they are associated with water. Because a good majority of the, not all, but a good majority of sightings come over water.
Yeah.
Or near.
Well, I mean, think about it. The deep parts of the ocean are some of the most unexplored places on the planet.
Well, it's so vast, too, you know, the ocean.
Yeah.
There could be an entire civilization that we have no clue about down there.
Could be.
And maybe it's these, UFO water people.
Could be the UFO water people.
Even lakes.
The shape of water? I mean, if they're going to invade, we might have to get the fucking, what's his name there? Michael Shannon. Might have to get him. He was in the shape of water. He wanted to kill the fucking water creature. We might have to get him to help us out.
They're water creatures. It explains a lot.
They live in water? Do they live in the water?
Oh, they probably have like domed cities or some shit.
Dean says the Skinwalker Ranch has the same shit going on. Skinwalker Ranch has always got shit going on.
You name it, it happens at the Skinwalker.
Yeah, fucking Skinwalker Ranch. Roll the fucking dice. Spin the wheel of paranormal. It's happening.
I don't know. I went from being a 100% complete skeptic on a lot of this shit to, okay, maybe there's some truth to some of it, and that bothers me.
Well, when it comes to the fucking UFO shit, like right now, and that's the weird thing about it is, I think the fact that the government is so willing to say that it's real doesn't discount the fact that it's aliens, but makes me think that they know something that they're not telling us.
I don't think this report that's coming out will tell us much of anything.
Yeah.
But I think something is coming along the lines that will maybe explain. Hopefully. I mean, it would be nice just to at least have some sort of explanation.
A something about something.
A bunch of us who have seen weird things in the sky over the years, including yourself and myself and my mother and a lot of other people, our guests on the show sometimes, it'd be nice to know what the fuck this shit is.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to know. I'd love
is
to know.
It terrestrial? And is it extraterrestrial? Is it, what is it?
I don't know. I wondered, we've always asked ourselves or wondered, what would it be like if, we knew or if they just showed up or, and now I'm wondering, do we really want to know? Do we really want to know the answer to that question?
I don't think we're going to have a choice.
I don't either.
Really something going on,
I don't either. And I think it's going to be forced on us, but hey. Anyhow, to get into our story.
Really going on.
Story of the night, Steve. The Sons of Sam. I delved into this documentary on it's called The Sons of Sam, right? Katie?
Yes.
The documentary.
Yeah.
On Netflix. A few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, and plowed through all four episodes, in a couple of days. And I was pretty blown away by it. A coworker had brought it up to me at first, and I'd put it off watching it, and finally sat down and watched it. And I was like, holy shit. Because I'd never heard this. This theory about the Son of Sam killings. And I'm going to pick up the book Ultimate Evil by Maury Terry. I haven't yet. You can't buy the old print. Well, I'm sure you could find it used. But you can't buy it for the Kindle unless you buy the newer version of it, which of course is a little more expensive because it's got new stuff in it. But if you wait around long enough with this shit, which I've learned, they put everything on sale. So I do want to read the book. I'm very interested in reading the book. Hey, you two. Shut up. Excuse me. But I love the documentary. I've always been of the school that cult killings or occult killings don't generally occur. And then I watched this documentary and I went, maybe they do. There was, you remember the big satanic scare in the 80s, Steve? With Geraldo and all that bullshit. Anton LaVey parading himself around everywhere, which was all fine and good. It created a lot of hysteria. I can remember family members being really freaked out by that shit.
We had to listen to a lot of lectures at church about evils of Satanism, and we actually had a former she called herself a witch. I don't know what she really was.
A former witch.
And speak to us. Yeah.
Was she converted to the faith?
She was, but she was one of those scary people. You know, try to scare you away from evil stuff.
Oh.
Saying really scary things, and that's all I remember.
Yeah. Anyhow, I won't get into that right now.
But anyway, I'm just saying. So that, I mean, I was right in the depths of the
Satanism craze.
Dungeons and Dragons is evil. All that bullshit.
It's the root of all evil. Now it's like super popular again. Anywho, in 1976 to 1977, 76 is the year I was born. A serial killer was terrorizing New York City. This killer was targeting young couples parked in cars, ambushing them with a .44 caliber pistol. He gained the nickname the .44 caliber killer until they found a handwritten letter near one of the victims' bodies. In the letter, he signed his name Mr. Monster, but had referred to himself within the letter as the Son of Sam. The letter was
full... I like that better than .44 caliber killer. That just... doesn't roll off the tongue.
The letter was full of other demonic references, but when the letter was released to the press, the new nickname of Son of Sam stuck. More murders continued, and the city was desperate for him to be caught. Soon after, another letter was sent to the Daily News journalist Jimmy Breslin. There were more satanic references and symbols in this letter, but more alarming was his warning of another killing to take place on the anniversary of his first victim. That anniversary came and went without another murder, but just a few days later, he did strike again. In total, there were 8 attacks, 6 murders, and 7 others who were wounded but survived. After the last murder, there was a witness near the scene who saw an officer giving parking tickets nearby. After they reviewed the tickets issued in that neighborhood that day, they found one given to a car that matched the description of witnesses from the other murders. The car belonged to David Berkowitz. He was a 24-year-old mail carrier. When they went to his apartment and saw his car, they broke into it without a warrant and found a gun and a Son of Sam letter. Way to go, New York Police Department, by the way. When David left his apartment and came down to his car, now this is interesting too. They actually found a police officer that lived in his building because they didn't have a fucking clue what he looked like when they went after him. They have no idea what he looked like. They found a police officer that lived in his building and they asked him, hey, do you know what David Berkowitz looks like? And he was like, yeah. So they asked him to sit out there with them and wait for him to come out. And when he went to his car, he said, yeah, that's him. And they went out and put their gun, drew their guns on him. When David left his apartment, came to his car, police approached him and asked him if he was David Berkowitz. He replied, no, I am the son of Sam and you got me. He had the 44 caliber gun used in the crimes on him. He was smiling as he was arrested and was taken away without incident. During interrogations, David claimed that he was commanded to commit these murders by his neighbor Sam Carr's demon-possessed dog. He underwent psychiatric evaluation but was deemed competent. David confessed and pled guilty to all six murders and was sentenced to six life terms in prison. New York City was happy to have him caught, and everyone accepted that he was the sole killer they had been looking for. But there was a small-time journalist named Maury Terry who saw the story differently and insisted there was more to the story. He followed the case closely and saw evidence to indicate that there was more than one person involved in these murders. Maury dove deep into the investigation. He found that there were witness reports that did not match up to David Berkowitz. This included conflicting descriptions of the man, different vehicles at the scene other than David's, and even one of the police sketches that had been released didn't look anything like David. And there's one witness who says, for sure, he's like, it wasn't David Berkowitz that shot them. He's like, for sure. Maury began looking into the Carr family. They were neighbors of David. Maury actually went to school with one of the Carr boys and was familiar enough with them to notice references within the Son of Sam letters that lined up with the Carr family. Sam Carr was the patriarch of the family and was known to be abusive to his kids. John and Michael Carr were actually sons of Sam, by definition of their father, and they did have links to David Berkowitz. In addition to his discoveries about the Carr family, there was a retired detective named Jim Medegar. Is that how his name's pronounced, Katie?
Yeah, Medegar.
Medegar. I remember it now from the documentary. Who turned journalist and was able to interview David in prison and then got in a lot of trouble later. David implied to him that he had not acted alone and there were accomplices. He said, there are other sons out there. God help us all. Maury and Jim took this investigation to the DA to convince them to reopen the case, but they refused. They were satisfied with David's original confession because if he were to have gone to trial, there was a lot of evidence that could have been used in court because of the police's sloppy work. Maury didn't give up, though. He continued digging into the Carr family and began exploring a local cult that had been practicing demonic rituals in a nearby park. They were a group called the Children. He went back and compared the satanic symbol drawing from the Son of Sam letters to the symbols of this cult, and it all fit together. He even found the name of Sam Carr within the drawing. Everything referenced in those letters that sounded crazy before was now making sense. And it's interesting to note that in the letter, it mentions John Wheaties, and John Carr's name is John Wheat Carr. And it says John Wheaties rapist in one of the letters. And it also makes note of the father locking them in the attic. And that's something that Sam was known to do to his kids.
Yeah. And actually there was a sister, and the sister's first name was Wheat, and her nickname was Wheaties. And she had ties specifically to David Berkowitz.
Yes. She was the one that, when they called, what was it, dispatch? I want to say. Well, they called somewhere. She was the one that answered, and she knew him.
She knew Berkowitz. Yeah, she's like, oh, let me tell you about him. Right. Yeah, you're right. She worked for the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, while Maury was getting deep into the dealings of the Carr family, he received word from Minot, North Dakota, that John Carr had committed suicide, but it was under very suspicious circumstances. This was concerning, but also led him to more leads of this cult having ties between Minot and New York City. Shortly after John's suspicious death, his brother Michael Carr was also killed back in New York in a car accident. He ran his car into a pole at 90 miles per hour, and it was deemed a single car accident. but there was evidence of tire marks speeding away from the scene, indicating someone may have ran him off the road. So now there were two suspicious deaths of two main characters linked to the Son of Sam case.
So that was a question I was going to have. Did the killings continue after Berkowitz was put in jail?
Well, that's the interesting thing. So if these two guys were involved, now here's the other interesting thing, Steve. These two guys look like the police sketches. Like eerily like the police sketches of the from the witnesses.
Right.
Yeah, and it was really kind of bullshit from the police department, because they wrote it all off of like, oh, well, clearly the killer is using wigs and disguises, and he's dressing up in different costumes for every murder. And that was their way to explain it away.
Right. And Berkowitz never, ever even said that.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Well, what do you think, you know, if they caught him by surprise in his car coming out of his apartment or whatnot, did they find any wigs or costumes?
Yeah. Was he in a wig? he was going to do a shooting, supposedly. So John and Michael Carr had gotten their spiritual start in Scientology, Steve. They worked their way up to the top ranks and were respected members, but they eventually broke off from Scientology and dove into the world of the occult, starting a group called The Process. It was a radical group that inspired and was referenced by Charles Manson and his infamous group. The Process used German Shepherd dogs as a major symbol for their group, which eventually brought Maury Terry to the link The Process with the offshoot group in Minot, North Dakota called The Children, who were known to sacrifice German Shepherds. All of this information circled Maury back to the Sons of Sam group and their affiliation with Berkowitz. Right as Maury was pulling all of this occult information together, he received a letter from David Berkowitz himself. David told Maury, "I am guilty of these crimes, but I didn't do it all." He referenced John Carr specifically and admitted he was part of a cult. He cautioned Maury, "The public will never, ever truly believe you, no matter how well your evidence is presented." This line in the letter haunted Maury from that moment forward. Along with this letter, David also sent Maury a book about witchcraft that he had wrote notes into. He referenced the murder of a young woman in California, Arliss Perry. Turns out this woman was a devout Christian from Bismarck, North Dakota. She had visited the children group to try to convert them. Then she left for college in California and lived with her husband on campus, Katie?
Yeah, sorry, I only proofread this one once. Sorry.
On campus. She was found dead inside a church, having been brutally defiled in what appeared to be a satanic killing of some kind. It was theorized that Arliss was followed by that cult in North Dakota and murdered by them. The fact that David had referenced this specific case gave credibility to that theory, but no killer had been prosecuted for the murder of Arliss. Maury was slowly building a trusting relationship with Berkowitz, but police and other investigators were pushing David too hard, and he stopped talking. They were ruining all the progress Maury was making with him. But Maury continued his investigation and began communicating with other prisoners close to David. They corroborated David's confessions of being in a cult. This led Maury to begin investigating a millionaire named Roy Radin, who hosted sex parties in his mansion in California and had links to these cults. I thought his mansion was in New York.
That was the Sisman guy.
Oh, I thought Roy Radin was in Long Island, New York.
Maybe I do have that backwards, but Sisman and Radin were
I'm going to put an asterisk on this one.
That may be true.
I think he might have been in New York, but Roy Radin had been killed suspiciously, shot in the head and dumped in the desert with a Bible just 20 feet away from his body. He had an entire fucking room, Steve, that was one big bed. Specifically for orgies.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Like that guy. He's dead now, though. Anyway,
depends on if he was a cult guy and killed people. But the big bed thing, that's cool.
Yeah. Having been obsessively investigating this case for 10 years, Maury Terry published a book called The Ultimate Evil. It completely changed the perception of the Son of Sam case, and soon the public was beginning to doubt that David Berkowitz acted alone. But the timing of the book was interesting. America was experiencing the satanic panic of the 1980s. I remember that, Steve. We talked about that. Maury's story was he was trying to get out, got blotted out by society's fear and fascination with the occult in general. Maury made many TV appearances, and they weren't all perceived well. And this brought Maury back to what David told him. The public will never, ever truly believe you. All these years later, Berkowitz had converted to Christianity in prison. A man had been visiting him and talking to him about God, and this man put Maury Terry back in touch with Berkowitz. In 1993, Maury finally got his wish and sat down with Berkowitz in person and filmed an interview with him. They discussed the different cults along with John and Michael Carr's involvement in them. Berkowitz stated that he was involved in all of the attacks, but he himself did not pull the trigger for all of them. It was aired on Inside Edition, but public perception was not good. And it wasn't good, by the way. I'm going to put a side note in here. Maury, I think, got to a point where he saw the cult in everything in this case. He got to that point that we talk about where if you go into the woods to look for Bigfoot, you're going to find Bigfoot. If you go in the woods to look for aliens, you're going to find, you know, he got into that.
Yeah. Confirmation bias, basically.
Right. Maury had so much information from his years investigating that in his efforts to verify his evidence with Berkowitz, the interview appeared to be leading. Maury would ask a complicated question and Berkowitz gave a vague confirming answer. This ended up ruining the credibility of Maury's work on the case. Berkowitz did confirm all of Maury's information, but people believed he tainted Berkowitz's answers with his leading questions. The New York DA office took the advantage of this to refute Maury's claims and keep the case closed. Maury did another similar interview with him again in 1997, but it was received the same way. Maury Terry died in 2015, but passed along all of his research to be continued. He remained obsessed with the case up to his last dying breath. Berkowitz has been up for parole several times now, but he refuses it every time and says that he wishes to stay in prison for the rest of his life. So a couple of things that I'd like to note. There are police officers. There was one police officer in particular in the documentary. I cannot remember his fucking name. And he completely refuted the whole cult theory. He's like, there's no fucking way. Like, you remember him in the documentary, the old cop there, Katie?
Yeah, I want to say his first name was Jim, but
he's like, anybody who questions my integrity, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. Okay. The fact of the matter is, he's like, anybody who tries to connect this to a cult, John Carr was in a cult. For sure. It was verified by the North Dakota police. Like, there was a cop in the documentary from North Dakota who was like, yeah, no, this shit happened.
Yeah, and that's what was crazy is that really the police officers in Minot, they kept bugging the New York DA office like, hey, man, right. We got some serious information to give you here. And New York just like, no, wasn't hearing it.
We don't care.
Is it just because they wanted to save face because we solved this crime?
They had their man.
Yep.
They had their man. They wanted it done. It was done. Yep. So here's the thing. So people made a lot of fun of Maury over this whole fucking thing. Like they bashed the shit out of this guy. And he, one of the theories that he had was this Arliss Perry in, I can't remember where it was in, where'd she get killed?
I want to say it was Stanford.
Right. It was Stanford, in California.
Yeah. It was definitely in California. A pretty big college there.
They're like, no, this had nothing to do with any of that, you know? And Maury was like, no, I really think that it was the security guard. And I think that he's tied to this cult. And they're like, no, no, no. Well, lo and behold, in 2015, I believe, police show up at the security guard's house to question him. He pulls a gun and shoots himself. Because they had evidence to prove that he was the guy that killed her. When they go in and when they go in and look through his house, Steve, you know what they find? Maury Terry's book.
Well, you know, if you were there at that time, you might have a copy of that book. If that was, you know, I don't know how suspicious that part of it.
There were other things that were with it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other things.
Hey, enough.
Yeah, there but were it, some news clippings and stuff, but that's what threw me for a loop was finding that out. It was actually in 2018, and it was from
it 2018?
DNA okay. finally caught up to their small little pitiful sample that they had, because originally all they had were palm prints and fingerprints, and none of them matched up to this guy, the security guard. And so he remained a suspect, but they could never nail him until they did a DNA test on the semen and it finally matched to him. But other than the fact of there being other handprints and fingerprints of other individuals not being him, there really wasn't any actual connections of that dude to a cult.
And right. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't.
Right, but the killing itself was clearly...
It was
very sick and ritualistic.
So he wasn't there on his own.
Correct. Absolutely. That was definitely a more than one person crime based on the fact that they had fingerprints of multiple individuals.
Yeah, and
I mean, they could have just used the guy, you know, at that time. I mean, he was a security guard there.
But it makes you that's the one that had me scratching my head at the end. It was like, because they take you through this documentary and they don't discredit Maury Terry in any way. They say that his facts and his evidence is solid. But by the end, he seems kind of like a carnival barker when it comes to the whole
thing. He got wrapped up in it, you know. And
right.
We see that all the time, you know.
Right. But then they do that, you know, they wrap up the documentary and they go back and they tell the story of this security guard that they arrest for the murder of the woman. And that Maury was saying all along it was this guy. You know, and everybody's like, no, there's no evidence to prove that, da-da-da-da-da. But I just thought it was, I thought it was a really good documentary, and I don't know. Like, I seriously don't know. I don't know if there's, I'm more to say no, there's not really any ties between that and the Manson killings. They tried to make
stretch. The way you've explained it to me, and it did bring up, you know, there's similarities for sure. So maybe one was, you know, trying to copy the other, or they took cues from the Manson stuff.
I don't know. All I know is that I think that there was something there, but I think that it wasn't as deep as Maury thought it was.
No, I think, you know, some of the stuff, you know, is Manson-esque. For sure. But they would have known about Manson at that point. And maybe some of it was to, you know, pay homage.
And this week, Dean's a cunt. Because he doesn't give a crap about this. Sorry, later. I guess he doesn't just give a crap about...
I don't know what Dean's... I saw that a while ago, and I'm like, did we piss Dean off somehow?
I don't know. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Fuck Dean Cooper.
Fuck Dean Cooper. I don't care. I don't give a crap about that. So, later, Dean.
No, I don't understand what that statement is about. Maybe Dan's just having a, you know, bunch in his panties today.
Having a rough day.
I think this topic just wasn't worth him skipping his wife chores.
Oh, wife chores. Could be wife chores. Yeah. That's right. Correct. Correct, Amundo. I forgot about that. Those are important in his life. No, I totally could go down a rabbit hole with this case, and I could see how you did, Katie. I rewatched the whole thing today, and it's fascinating.
So have they discovered anybody who may have knocked off the brothers? You know, who would have been responsible? Was there a theory on who was responsible for any of
that
stuff?
No, there wasn't any theory. No. There was a theory that there was a filmmaker who they had involved in making a snuff film, that one of the murders was filmed. But they never really, there's never any hard evidence for that. Just people saying that that was the case.
Right. Well, and that's where that Radman guy who, you know, was a millionaire and had all of the the orgy rooms and stuff. That's where he kind of linked into it. And
rock on. I bet you had huge showers too. Insanely huge showers. Oh,
although
God.
I don't know. When I was researching it, I found some pictures and it may have been a mansion, but our place was gross. It's not any kind of mansion I'd want to go hang out in.
Well, there's fucking jism everywhere. You put a fucking black light in that place, it would light up like a fucking rave.
Yeah, it was gnarly. But I did totally go down a rabbit hole on this. I mean,
Sorry.
Berkowitz himself, man, there's a lot there with him too, because he actually has a long history. He, when he was a child, claimed to have a dog talking to him, telling him to make trouble.
Yeah.
And he actually shot Sam Carr's dog.
Yeah.
The dog lived, but he shot him. And I don't know. That's a whole separate rabbit hole with David himself.
You know, it crosses my mind, if there were people such as the Carr brothers and their dad that knew this about him, they could definitely manipulate the guy.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing too. Like, if I've known crazy people in my life, I grew up with some. I've known people who would manipulate other crazy people like that. But if you have someone in your life that's crazy, for them to go off and do something crazy, and then take the credit for it, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways I could tie this whole thing up in my head.
Yeah.
If he believed he was doing what he was supposed to be doing because something told him to, even if he didn't do it all, he would take the rap for it, I think.
Well, and he was part of these rituals that went on in what Untermyer Park, was it, Katie?
Yep. Yeah.
And that was confirmed by multiple people. And the police tried to say that he was a loner, that he didn't do anything, but he confirmed that he was outgoing and he hung out at these parties and places. He had a girlfriend. They said he'd never had a girlfriend. He did have a girlfriend. Like, there's all these things that I just make me really question the whole thing. Like, I definitely think he was involved. I think he was involved.
Well, it was his gun, obviously.
But I don't know, like, how deep.
Yeah, the big thing that leaves a question mark in my mind is the fact that David Berkowitz actually had an above average IQ. He wasn't a genius or anything, but he did have an above average IQ. And he never actually, he had psychiatric care when he was a child, in adulthood, and then obviously after his arrest. And he was never deemed and diagnosed with anything psychologically, even after his arrest. They said, wow, he's actually
they never sane. Said he was a schizophrenic or anything.
He never had any kind of diagnosis. Nobody ever said that he was incompetent or anything like that. He was an intelligent man. And that's what actually kind of made me rethink everything. Like, well, this dude wasn't crazy, he wasn't stupid, he really wasn't even necessarily easily manipulated. So but I do still think he was definitely involved in with these people, the Carr family and the cult.
Yeah. If you believe something deeply, I see it in Christianity all the time, you're all in, you know, and it sounds like that's what happened with this guy.
And that's where people say that he was threatened too. And he even alluded to that in some of his interviews, that if he were to actually speak and tell the truth, these people are going to kill his family. So he was willing to take the rap.
And it makes sense too that he was willing to talk about John and Michael because they were dead.
Right. Exactly.
Like, he was willing to admit that because they were gone. But he wouldn't admit to anybody else. He said there were other players, but he wouldn't admit to who they were.
So those other players potentially are still around, or descendants of those other players that he's still afraid of. Is that what I'm getting?
I guess.
Well, and that's interesting too, though, because he did technically confirm the involvement of Sisman and Raiden. But those were one of the leading questions that Maury gave him of, like, is this true that Sisman da 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 da? And Berkowitz was like, yes, that's true. So it makes it hard to sort out what's real and what's not.
Yeah, it's those follow-up interviews. His first interview with Berkowitz, I thought was okay. The first one that they released there.
It was better than the second one, for sure.
No, there was one initial one that wasn't as bad. She wasn't a part of it. You remember there?
The news lady?
Yeah, it was before that one.
Yeah, well, that one was pretty bad, too. I went back and rewatched it. I, like, paused the documentary and looked up the YouTube video and watched it. And it was very leading.
I definitely think Maury was... He definitely had way too much confirmation bias.
Yeah, for
sure. He definitely did. Like, he went down that rabbit hole too far.
I see a lot of that, though. I was watching Stephen Bassett the other day. He's a UFO guy. And he's, you know, you could tell everything he said... He has to make the point, and he has to make it so much that, yeah, it might be true-ish, you know, true-ish. And that's what sounds like, yeah, it sounds like what this guy's doing. Because, you know, these guys work on these things their whole, Stanton Friedman, for example, worked on the Roswell thing his whole entire fucking adult life.
And pedophilia.
And eventually.
Allegedly.
Oh, I don't know. Was he? Oh, Stanton Friedman?
I think so.
I don't know. Anyway, but he did it his entire adult life. And, you know, you have to keep adding shit in, or you have to keep making it. You know, you want your story to be true. So you're going to make it be true subconsciously. And I think that's, no, I like Stanton Friedman, and maybe he was right all along.
Yeah, you could look that up for me just to make sure I'm not like completely being fucking slanderous or libelous or whatever. But well, I did say allegedly.
So he's not going to sue you. He's dead.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't want to smear the good man's name if he's a good man. I'm pretty sure he's the one that they found pornographic material of a childlike nature on his computer. Pretty sure.
I'm looking.
What was his name?
Stanton Friedman.
I'm not seeing anything like that.
I want to say that. I've heard it talked about many, 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 many times. I want to say it's Stanton Friedman.
Let's go to the Wikipedia. Criticisms and controversies. There we go.
Stanton.
I think you guys.
Yeah, he's the guy. Friedman. Child porn. That.
I'm not seeing anything like that.
I want to say somebody he's because he claimed that they, pretty.
There was maybe it's somebody else you're thinking of that has a similar name, but Friedman was not, as far as I know. He was a professor and nuclear physicist.
Yeah, I want to say
I found a Jesse Friedman.
God, where am I fucking hearing that? God, I'm horrible. And it horrible.
Was an HBO doc.
Would you now sit here right now, Chris, and apologize to the family of Stanton Friedman?
I'm apologizing. Okay. Until I find the fucking the audio of what I know.
I like that guy.
I want to say, for some reason, I want to say it was in a documentary. Oh, fuck. What was it?
There are others that have, you know, had that controversy. I can't think off the top of my head, but I know I don't believe.
Yeah, there have been some. I know that's happened.
Maybe they just got too close to the truth and the government planted that shit.
That was what they, that was their, the argument when it happened. I want to say it was him. God damn it. Now I'm going to be on the trail of this. Now I'm on the trail. I'm gonna fucking Steve out
for investigate
this like back in the day.
Oh god.
Back in the day, Steve Alcorn investigates. I'm gonna find out the truth.
Way too much of my life.
Yeah, I did. You were a fucking hound.
I was good at it.
You were a hound. Once you get your nose to the ground on something, you were done.
I still kind of do that sometimes.
But. Yeah, that's true. Just different shit. Different shit. Anyhow, I'm gonna wrap this up because, well, I feel like it.
And I gotta piss.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the 40 and Slip, episode 190, The Sons of Sam, The Ultimate Evil. If you like this shit, hit that little thumbs up button. If you don't, hit that little thumbs down button or whatever you feel like fucking hitting. As always, go check out our good friend Dreadfun at dreadfun.com and youtube.com/dreadfun. Check out our good friend Bronx Johnny over at High Society Radio. That's at gasdigitalnetwork.com or wherever podcasts may be found. Later on tonight, the show will be up on Anchor at anchor.fm/the14slip, also wherever podcasts may be found. And check out the like page at facebook.com/the14slip. To update everybody, my eye is, I guess, kind of doing better. Not great, but we're getting there, so to speak. It is what it is. Until next week, see ya!